You're listening to The Blind Chick, an AfterSight original podcast. We're telling you stories about strength, overcoming hurdles, and living experiences. We see who you really are. Blindness can be an adventure. Are you ready for the journey of a lifetime? We are.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Blind Chick. That's Moses Street.
And that is Penn Street.
The Blind Chick.
I really, really hope that doesn't hurt people's ears out there.
And this is, we're going into Halloween. And woo-hoo-hoo. The blind chick, Penn, is one of the spookiest because of her. Our house is very, very spooky because everything in this house talks. And I'm not used to that. So I'll be walking through the room and all of a sudden it'll go, it's 2 o'clock. And it's like, whoa, what was that? What was that? Or in the morning, you know, do you want the lights turned on? What?
Wah, wah, wah. Well, at least I fixed our bathroom scale. I got a different one because our old one, because we do live in an old house, so the floors aren't completely 100% solid. Yeah. So my old bathroom scale, you could walk in any room near the bathroom and it would say, please step on the scale. But the one we have now is different. You actually have to step on it. So if yes. that one ever goes off and we're not scale. In the bathroom, we are in trouble. There's definitely a serial killer in our bathroom.
Yeah, and that scale was the scariest thing in the house because it always added 10 to 15 pounds to your weight.
Or it'd say, one person at a time, please.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got rid of that one.
Yeah, and because I have no memory, who's on the upcoming podcast besides this?
Oh, so last week we interviewed Day A. Muhammad, and she was freaking amazing.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Talk about a spookiness or terror.
Yeah.
Because she's if you have not listened to last week's episode, please go back and listen to it.
It's a really, really, so if you're like us and we scan a podcast to look for an episode that sounds interesting to us.
And, that's a good one.
Day, you really want to listen to. In fact, if you've never listened before, go back and listen, look up her. It's so good.
Yeah, she's just done so many incredible things, but it literally triggered my PTSD because she rode across America, and she's totally blind, and she rode across independently with a guide in front of her.
Yeah, a bicycle built for one person only.
One person. One.
No tandem.
Yeah, and in the, so she sent us the link to her movie, which it's a documentary, which is out at all the film festivals. And when I would hear the semis coming by, it felt like the semis were coming by me. So, but it's a really great episode. And next week is definitely dear to Moses and I. We are interviewing Katie Boyd.
Yeah.
And Katie Boyd, and we're not going to tell you too much, but she is blind. No. No, you're not. But Katie is,
yes, dear.
she after she lost her sight, she became a sailor. She got really involved with sailing and then started her own blind sailing company in the Twin Lakes area. So definitely, because sailing is huge to Moses and I. We love being out on the water and everything.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, if I pass out, it's because it's 1,000 degrees in the studio. And the sun is coming straight in. So not only is it hot, the sun is making me boil. So,
if
I get quiet all of a sudden, call 911. Anyway, but today's episode.
Halloween.
Halloween. Spooky Halloween.
Yeah. And it's we want to talk. I have lived in two and then houses that were haunted, And Penn lived in one of those houses with me. And so the first one, let me do the first one.
And we first of all, we have a disclaimer here. Oh. We are going to be talking about ghosts. So if that's triggering to you, you can skip this episode. We still love you. But we believe in ghosts, but we're not trying to get you to believe in them.
Yeah.
But Moses and I we believe in ghosts. So
if you live in a really good haunted house, I love ghost stories and I will believe any ghost story because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it might matter if they're mean ghosts because there's, what are they called? Poltergeists. Those are mean ghosts. And luckily, those are not as common as the other.
So it was up in Black Hawk,
Colorado. Yeah. You always have to say Colorado. This is international.
Right. That's right. And Black Hawk at the time was pretty much a ghost town. And Central City was about the only thing that it was a tourist town, but it didn't get the massive crowds. And so I was starting the very first old-fashioned portrait studio ever in America. And I rented this old dilapidated building on Main Street in Black Hawk.
This was BP. This was before Penn. I would not have lived in this apartment.
No, I found some photos on it and it was a ramshackle. And so I wasn't thinking of ghosts at all, you know. And so the one or two nights, I think it was the second night, I was in the sitting in the living room, and the door of this place, the building leaned a lot, and the door, if you pushed and shoved and pushed and shoved, you could get it to open a foot that you could just barely squeak out the main door. We always had to use the side door. So it's like I'm a night person and I'm sitting in there reading in the living room about 6 feet from the front door. And all of a sudden, as loud as you can imagine, somebody pounded on the door and scared me to death. And once I, you know, relaxed a little bit, I looked outside. There was nothing. And at those times, the streets were empty at night. And that started a whole series of events. The ghost would frequently pound on the door at night. It got to the point because it was also, I was very young at the time, and it was a party house, kind of like a mountain ghost town animal house, if everybody remembers that. Anyway, so we talked to the owner, and he said, yeah. He said, used to, back in the 1800s, an old miner lived there, and he was gut shot at a bar just up the street.
He was what?
Gut shot.
Shot in the gut.
In the stomach. And that Western slang. And he made it back to the house and evidently died in the basement. And so even in the daytime, we could hear stuff being dragged around in the basement. And only once did I go down there, and it was so creepy, I never went down again. Nobody else had the nerve to. But a lot of people heard the stuff being dragged around in the basement. Then, other time, I was laying up in bed. I read a lot. And I was sitting in bed. It was like 6-7 o'clock. It's raining outside, and I'm reading. And I hear footsteps in the living room. And then we had those old, practically a ladder, steep steps like in old houses. And I hear heavy boots coming up the steps. And scaring me to death. I go, hello, hello, who's there? Who's there? And just as the steps are getting to the top, I hear a knock at the door. And I go, who is it? And it was a friend of mine. I go, come in, quick. There's somebody in the house. And they've come up. And they kept, there was nobody there. There was nobody there.
Good thing your friend showed up. Oh, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah. And the funniest part of it was that I had left for the weekend and gone down to Denver to visit my folks. Came back up Monday, I run into this really good friend, and he is furious at me, really, really angry. And I am, I'm going, what are you so mad about? He goes, well, I came over to your house and you wouldn't let me in. And I go, well, I wasn't here. I was in Denver. And he goes, BS. We can't swear on this podcast, can we?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, well, everybody knows what BS is. So anyway, he goes, baloney. He goes, I saw you up in your bedroom window. Well, I had actually seen the ghost. Now, when you see a ghost, you can talk yourself out of it pretty easily. So I, you know, did I really see a ghost? But the ghost happened to look a lot like me. He had a long beard. I always wear a hat. He wore a, he had a hat on, and he had on a long duster. And it, the image lasted, oh, 2-3 minutes and then faded away. And I go, you saw the ghost. And he goes, no, I didn't. It was you. I go, no, I was really at my folks' house. And he still didn't believe me. So now, even at parties, the ghost would knock on that front door, and people would race out of the house and try to find the ghost. There was never anybody outside that house. So
but
on
he,
and
but
so
he
far.
Looked like you, though.
Yeah,
because your friend, a lot your like friend, me. Your friend thought he was you.
Yeah, yeah, and
that's creepy.
Yeah, and so
was that your first experience with ghosts? Like, you've never,
well, I've always, my fear of ghosts, which you're well aware of.
Yes.
Is
he is so easy to prank with ghosts. It's quite fun.
I had a cousin who was evil.
Oh, you had
just evil. And
what was that called?
The bad seed.
The bad seed. He was the bad seed.
If you see that original,
I think
they, the bad seed.
I think they made that movie after him.
Yeah, I had a hard time watching that original movie because it reminded, he was so much like my cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know those, the dolls that come alive in the horror films?
Oh, like Chucky.
Like Chucky. That was my cousin. so now, wait, many, many years later, Penn and I have been together a long time, and shooting weddings, I'd go through Black Hawk if I had something along the I-70 corridor, and I thought, I got to show Penn the house, because it had been turned into a casino, which was bizarre, because it wasn't that big, and so Penn and I go in there. And we tell the guy at the door, we're not going to drink, we're not going to gamble. I used to live here, and I want to show my wife, because it was a big memory. Well, I'm showing her around the place, and it kind of looked like it used to look.
But it was bigger. They had added like an elevator, and
yeah, they did.
You know, they added a whole backside of it and stuff.
Yeah, the owner comes up. Well, the owner was actually the guy whose father had rented me the place 30, 40 years before. And he goes, did you ever have any ghost stuff? And I go, oh, yeah. And he goes, did you ever see him? And I go, oh, yeah. And I go, I described him as I just described him earlier in this story. And he goes, yep, you saw him all right. And I go, that ghost is still here. And he goes, sometimes people will come screaming out of the elevator because he'll appear in the elevator.
That would freak me out. Because you're like stuck in an elevator. It's not like, out. I mean, if you're in a room, you could run out the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're stuck in an elevator, that would be.
Yeah. Oh, but this is one. This is kind of a disclaimer. You have to believe in ghosts to be able to see them.
Which I think is a psychological so. I think that's kind of true with anything, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Like if you had a ghost standing right next to you, you couldn't see it if you don't believe in them.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So, Ped, you can talk about the haunted house
we
lived through together.
Yeah. I had an incident when I was little. Like, I was like, oh, God. Well, it was before I got Stevens-John syndrome, so I must have only been 6 or 7 years old, and we lived in an old farm house in Arkansas in this little tiny town. And there was like this big
barn. In that one together.
No.
We met years later.
Yes. He didn't marry me when I was 7. Yeah. But that's kind of when my ghost thing started in the downstairs of this barn, my parents used like as a garage. We parked our cars in there. I have a huge family, so, you know, I had teenage brothers. They'd park cars and stuff in there, and we'd put our bikes and stuff. But the upstairs, there was like this weird ladder that went up, and my dad was afraid that one of us was going to go up there and break our neck. So he literally nailed boards, because we didn't need it for storage or anything, and he just thought safety. So he nailed it closed. And we could still climb up the ladder a little way and sit on it, which was kind of fun as a kid. But it was nailed closed. And all of us were in the house having dinner. And we heard this ruckus out in the barn, and we could not figure out what it was. And of course, my mom thought maybe it was like my older brother's friends goofing off in there or something. So my dad told us all to stay in the house because it could have been a serial killer.
Oh,
because
you were kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, we were in the middle of nowhere. And so my dad goes out there, and he comes back in, and supposedly his like face was white as a sheet. And he said that while he was out there, somebody was up in the top of the barn, which you could not get up there. Like, it wasn't like, it didn't have like an open hay, whatever.
It was a big barn.
Yeah, but you couldn't get up there except for the way my dad had nailed boards across. And so he said when he went out there, he could hear, and there was multiple people up above, but the boards were still there. The nailed boards were still there. And my mom was like, that can't be, and there's no way to get up there, blah, blah, blah. And so my dad took a couple of my older brothers out there. And when they got out there, several of the boards that were across, that he had nailed across, were laying on the ground. So whatever was up there had, of course, then all my older brother says, oh, we have ghosts in the barn. We have ghosts in the barn. And I never went out there. But after that, we never heard anything. And my dad did leave an opening. We were threatened with our lives to go up there, and I sure as heck wasn't going up there. So that was my first like true experience that there were ghosts. So Moses and I, we moved into a house in Estes Park, Colorado. I think that was built in the late 1800s, maybe probably. Early 1900s.
Yeah.
Beautiful home, like beautiful, beautiful home, right down, you know, right above Main Street. We loved that house.
Yeah, great views.
And we had a little Bichon Frise dog named Einstein. And stuff started happening gradually. I think we were there a total of 3 years.
Yeah.
And just weird stuff. Like, we would, Moses and I do not smoke. We do not drink.
Yeah.
And our little dog was very well behaved. You know, he would never have gone to the bathroom in the house unless, you know, he was just beyond sick. But weird things, because, you know, we had the studio and gallery in Estes Park. And so we worked like really long hours. So sometimes we'd get home at 10, 11 o'clock at night, and we'd open the front door exhausted, and the whole house would smell like cigarette smokes.
Really or strong.
Really like, strong.
Like four or five people had just been smoking all day.
Yeah. Like chain smoking all day.
Yeah. And the windows are all closed, so there's no reason. And the house was not close to another house.
No, it was standing by itself. And then sometimes we'd come home, and our little Bichon would be there, and he would run up to the door because, you know, he's happy to see us. But the house would reek.
Oh.
Like he, like, got sick all over the place.
Yeah.
But he didn't act like he had done anything. Because, you know, dogs, like, if they have done something, even if they got sick, they have that little, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but Einstein never had that.
Yeah,
and then
we would search every inch of the floor.
Absolutely.
Even with a flashlight, because, you know, occasionally dogs will clean up after. And
never found
a stain, never found a mark, never found anything.
And then we had this CD player, so you young folk won't know what that is, but and it had multiple, you could put like, three CDs in there, and you could either pick which CD or song you wanted, or you could just kind of put it on auto-rotate. And Moses and I, it never failed. We'd put it on whatever CD was in there that we wanted to listen to, and then it would change by itself. We had our TV come on by itself or go off by itself. And we had like an electrician come over. Nope, nothing was wrong with electricity.
Yeah.
We would wake up almost every single morning around a little after 2 o'clock in the morning.
Go ahead.
Our Bichon would get up and run into the living room, and we had all wood floors, so you could hear his little, you know, finger toenails or whatever they're called, his little nails on the wood floor. And he'd run into the living room, and he would pounce like he was playing with something.
Yeah. And this was the only thing that the ghost scared us on, was because at 2 o'clock in the morning, you hear the door rattle, and we even put a bell on it. We could not get that bell to ring.
It was solid, solid door.
Yeah, and
like the wind blowing wouldn't make it.
It had to open.
Chime or, yeah.
And then we would hear footsteps go across the living room, into the kitchen, to the back of the kitchen. And then it sounded like it went downstairs.
Yeah. Almost every night.
Yeah.
And then we would wake up and sometimes even come home to the house smelling like somebody had been baking cookies and cakes in there.
And we didn't bake at that time.
No,
we didn't have the time to bake.
No, we didn't have the time. All kinds of crazy stuff like that. When our girls, who were in college at the time, when they would come to visit us, they would not stay in the spare bedroom. They would drag the mattress in and stay in our room. And we didn't really tell them that much because we knew that they were afraid of ghosts. But they just said it was super creepy in there. Even in that room, we would make the bed and then go in like 5 minutes later and it would be unmade.
Yeah.
Like this was a crazy, and you could hear even in the kitchen cabinet doors opening and closing.
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy stuff. And at that time, I was flying to Dallas every 3 months for a special treatment on my eyes. And I'd be gone a week because I had friends that lived down there. So I kind of made it as a little vacation with my friends. And so I'd always add a couple of days before or after the treatment. And I would come home and Moses would be completely sleep deprived because the ghosts
went on overdrive
while I was gone. So I got to the point where I'd start, like before I left, I'd be like, okay, guys, leave him alone.
Yeah.
Like he needs to sleep. Leave him alone. And it did seem like that helped.
Yeah. And it was, well, going along with that, we discovered string hammocks down in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And so when Penn wasn't around, I always slept in the hammock because it was the most comfortable bed I had ever slept in my life. And so she's gone and I'm in a string hammock. You'd think they would sway easy, but they did not move unless you made them swing back and forth.
Yeah.
And so I had fallen asleep And I woke up and my hammock is swinging back and forth in a pretty big arc. Scared me to death. And so I started going, don't bother me. Don't do this. I don't like it. It's scaring me. And so I'm trying to get back to sleep. And when you're laying in the hammock, the strings that go out to the wall or the rope that goes to the wall were like a harp. And something would start playing those strings. Scared me to death. I did not sleep that night.
And we did find out a couple of things about that house. So the house that was across the street was a bed and breakfast, or it had been a bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
And we did get to talk to the owner of that bed and breakfast.
And they had owned our house.
Yes, and they had owned our house as well. Because I think that, they hadn't turned it into a bed and breakfast, but they had plans to do that. Well, they actually had to shut down and sell their bed and breakfast because they had so many ghosts that people would literally leave in the middle of the night at their bed and breakfast. So they decided to bring in, what are they called? Like a
exorcist
or priest or something to get rid of the ghosts. And it did work. And she thinks that they moved across the street to our house, except before we left Estes Park, Moses was photographing a young woman, and she goes, oh my gosh, I haven't been in this house in so long, since I was a kid. And Moses, so we started asking.
Her best friend lived there.
Yeah, so it was her best friend's parents lived there, and they owned the house. And so Moses started...
they die or anything? And she goes, oh, yeah, there had been a divorce, and the guy had moved to London.
England, somewhere in England.
And he got run over by a bus.
Yeah.
And that's part of the ghost lore, is you go to where you were happiest.
Yeah. And that's why there's so many ghosts like at hotels, they think, is because you go back to where you were happy.
Yeah. And so I ask her, I go, did he smoke? And she goes, oh, smoked like a chimney, just never had a cigarette out of his mouth. And I go, whoa. And I go, did he bake? Did he like to bake stuff? And she goes, that was his career. He was a baker. And not only did he bake at the bakery, he baked at home.
Yeah, it was kind of his comfort when he was stressed. He'd go home and bake.
Yeah. And then I go, did he by any chance drink? And she goes, oh, yeah, he definitely was an alcoholic. And
that was part of the reason for the divorce.
It was always 2 o'clock. The bars would close.
Yeah, he would stay out, until 2 a.m. And because his alcoholism got so bad, he wouldn't bathe.
So she said,
like, there were times when she'd come over to visit her friend.
Yeah.
And they had to go outside.
Yeah.
Because
the house just reeked. It's
made her nauseous.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was like really fun. And then
we loved it.
We did love it. But
because there was nothing violent or anything like that. And the scare, the only time it like would scare you was the surprise. Like coming in the door, the only reason that was scary is, well, it's got to be the ghost, but what if it's not the ghost and somebody else has come in, you know?
Yeah.
But
so then we moved down to Loveland, Colorado. And I probably out of all the houses I've ever lived in my life.
And this is the last story, so wait for it. It's good.
Yeah. It literally was my favorite house. Like, I love the layout.
We love that house.
Everything about the house. I did think the basement, it was creepy.
It had
creepy,
the dirt floor and was creepy.
And it had all these like little weird rooms off to the sides, like for no apparent reason. There wasn't any plumbing in it. Like, why would they dig that out?
Yeah.
But we didn't have to go into the basement very often, but we did store some stuff down there.
Yeah.
But we loved the house. Like, it was absolutely stunning.
When we were renting it, because we actually loved having ghosts.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun and good stories. And,
but Moses was a freak in that house because
come back with that one. Is that when we were going to rent it, we were talking to the landlady, and I said, this would be a positive. Is the house haunted? We would love it if the house is haunted. And she got really serious, and she goes, no, it's not a problem.
We took care of it.
Yeah. And so take it, Pat.
And then some, but there was, it's an old neighborhood. It used to be an old farmhouse.
Yeah.
Even though it's in the historic district of Loveland. And there was a tree. There are lots of trees, but there was one particular tree in our backyard. And I loved it because it had a knotty hole, or what do you call it? Like a hole.
Yeah.
Like where there's a knot.
Yeah.
And there was a hole in there, like a, like Boo.
Boo Bradley.
And To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's it.
Yeah. He would leave, which is one of my all-time favorite stories. He would leave little trinkets and stuff in there for the kids. And so that's what I loved the tree. Like I thought that Moses was freaked out about the tree. Every single time the wind blew, he's like, that tree is going to fall on us. We'd have to, the master bedroom was upstairs and he'd like, we have to go sleep downstairs because that tree is going to.
And never in my life have I been obsessed about anything, let alone a tree.
But
I got terrified of that friggin' tree.
He had it in for the tree.
Yeah.
And so nothing really happened. No ghosty things at all. We were actually a little disappointed.
Yep.
But then we really wanted to buy a house. And so we which is in the one we're in now, we found it. It's adorable. We love it. I do not love it as much as I did the other one, but I do love it.
Yeah.
And it's our forever home.
And there's no ghosts. There's nothing.
And there's no ghosts in this house. However, the last night we were moving from the other house to the house we're in now, you know how like you have everything out of the house, it's empty, but there's all these like last little cleaning things. And also it was in March, or actually it was in October. It was October 9th. It was this time of year and it was pouring snow. Like it was snowing outside. So Moses was over at the new house, like putting the bed together and stuff. So we'd at least, you know, have a place to sleep while we, and I was at the old house, just, you know, tidying up, going through one last time, just making sure everything was spotless. And I had my guide dog with me, this very large white standard poodle named Boo. And great dog, never barked.
Ever.
And he just followed me around. You know, we got everything done. And I had called Moses, said, I'm done. I should be done like in 5 minutes. Can you come over and get me? Even though the two houses are maybe a half mile apart.
Yeah.
And normally I would have walked it, but it was pouring down snow. And I did have some leftover like cleaning stuff I didn't want to carry. And so Mo's like, yeah, I'll be over there shortly. I'm in the middle of something, but I'll be there as soon as I can. And so when you walked into this house, your choices were to go to the right, would take you into this beautiful dining room. If you went to the left, it took you into a beautiful living room, huge living room.
Yeah, old classic, a lot of wood farmhouse.
Yeah, but straight ahead was the stairway that went upstairs. So I was tired, so I just sat down on the stairs just waiting for Moses, and my guide dog was in front of me kind of looking up past me up the stairs. And I was like, just lay down, you know, Moses is coming. And he got up, he stared up the stairway, up behind me. My hair literally stood up on the back of my head. Like, it felt like there was something like within a second that was going to grab me. And Boo just started like a bear, like barking and growling and looking up the stairs. And I knew something was there. And so I went out, like I was flung the front door open and we're standing out in the snow and I called Moses like, get your ass over here now.
She and was terrified.
It was terrifying. Well, then Moses ended up photographing the owner of the house, daughter, and she was
just before we were moving.
Yeah. And so Moses, Moses kind of got her story of
what
really
her.
Was happening.
I said, okay, we're leaving. Okay. And since we're leaving, what was really going on about the ghost thing? And the kid goes, oh, she goes, that's why we moved and rented the house is the ghost was. And this was, I've read where ghosts have never hurt anybody in real life. But she goes, it was a evil, evil ghost. She goes, I slept in the downstairs bedroom, which happened to be where my workspace was. And she goes, I would wake up with somebody on top of me, choking me to the point I couldn't breathe. And my parents would come down in time and all kinds of horrible stuff. And she goes,
and she would have bruises on her neck.
Yeah.
And they were bruises that she could not have done. Yeah. Like it had to be somebody else.
And then she said, before we rented it to you guys, we not only had an exorcist, we had some kind of guru come in to cleanse the
three
house.
Different people that were unrelated to each other.
And to go along with my obsession with the tree, every one of them, none of them knew each other. Every one of them said, you have to cut down that tree. It's a portal to an evil place.
Yeah.
So I was right.
He was. So.
We have a ton of trees around our house now, and I'm not afraid of any of them.
All fine. So then COVID. So we moved into our new house. It's lovely. And it's during COVID, and I would still walk my guide dog, even though there wasn't any traffic or anything. And I was like, and I loved walking in that old neighborhood. And I just happened to be over there, and there was a couple, you know, just enjoying the sunshine. And they had two little boys, and I just happened to walk by, and the woman's like, oh, hi, you know. And I was like, hi. And she goes, oh, I noticed, you know, you're watching our, you know, interested in our house. And I said, yeah, actually, I used to live here. And the dad, he comes over, he goes, you lived here? And I, like, all serious. And I was like, yeah, I did. My husband and I lived here. And so the mom goes, so do you have any stories about this house? Because her little boys, I would say, were like 5 and 7. They're pretty little. And I could tell she didn't want me to say anything too scary with the little boys standing there. And I said, oh, yes. And so the dad goes, I'll take the boys over. I'll take the boys over by there's a little pond over there. I'm going to take the boys over there. Let's go look at the fish, you know? And so the woman said, oh my gosh. She said, so do you know anything about this garage? And I was like, the garage? And I said, no. And she goes, what do you know about? And so I was telling her, so I told her my stories about the house and the ghosts, and then also about the tree. And she goes, oh my gosh, I didn't know about the tree. I know about the ghosts inside the house, but I didn't know about the tree. And then she goes, but you don't know about the garage? And I said, no, because the landlord even told us don't really use the garage because the floor was kind of rotted. So,
which was weird to us because they had it full of all their junk.
Yeah, I think it was they just didn't want us to use it for storage. That's what Moses and I thought. But so this woman said, well, when they bought the house, which was after we left, they her husband really wanted to use it as an actual garage and actually park their cars in there. And so they had were told the same thing, that the floor was rotted. They would need to put in a new floor. And he's like, no big deal. And so him and his buddies ripped up the wood floor. And under half of the garage, it was just dirt, which makes sense why it rotted. There wasn't like a cement slab or anything. But on one half of the garage, it was dug out. And there was a ladder that went down, and it was all rotted. But there was a ladder that went down, and this old nasty cot was down there. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And it was finished. It was not just a hole.
Yeah, she said there was wallpaper on the, you know, it was old, but there was wallpaper on the walls. Yeah. And I said, well, was there like a tunnel or something between the house and out there? Like, I don't know. I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. Like, maybe they were protecting somebody. I don't know. And she goes, oh, no. Oh, no. I think they kept somebody down there.
Yeah, exactly. And in the 12 years since we have moved, five different families have bought the house, and none of them have stayed in it longer than 2 years.
Yeah, we looked back as long as the history as you can find without really super digging, and nobody's ever been in that house. Some people were in it only just for a few months before they resold it.
Yeah.
So I'm, and they, the owners actually offered us to buy it, but we had already bought this other house. And I thank goodness we didn't buy it. Because there's ghosts, and then there's like
ghosts.
So
sleep well tonight.
Exactly. But we would love to hear your ghost stories.
Oh, we would love that.
Because we know there's people all over the world. Actually, we had a wonderful person that sent us an email from Estonia. So we would love some Estonia ghost stories. Yeah. Oksana, we know you're in Russia. Send us some Russian ghost stories. We would love, love, love to hear ghost stories.
Yeah.
And you can send those to contact, C-O-N-T-A-C-T, at aftersight.org, and we would love to hear those stories. So
I
do have something cute and funny to end with today. Is we were at last week in the United States was White Cane Day. It's a national recognized holiday. And so Moses and I were at a couple different events, and it was wonderful and beautiful. Thank you all for showing up. But on the second one, our little grandson was with us, and I have these little baby chicks that I hand out for the blind chick. Just this little baby chick, and it's a keychain. And he saw one on my table, and he asked if he could have it. And I said, of course. And he goes, what is this for? And I, you know, Moses and I told him, you know, well, it's because we do a podcast called The Blind Chick. And he's like, oh. And he goes, are chickens blind? And I was so then I had to explain to a 7-year-old little boy what that chick, what all the definitions of chick. And so it was really cute. So shout out to you, Mr. Weston. But it was really, it just made me laugh. I love those little moments with kids that, you know, it makes you see things that you wouldn't see otherwise. Yeah. But all right. Well,
we have no big ending, but while we were talking, I thought, wait a minute, I literally, in the old days, the owner of the Stanley Hotel gave me the manor house, and the Stanley Hotel is where the famous Shining movie.
With Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, it's written about the Stanley, and pretty much everything that happened in the movie, a version of it happened at the Stanley. And so the owner gave me the manor house, which was this massive building right
next
to the hotel.
Which is actually more haunted than the actual hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys will have to wait for those stories until next year. But, or if you are in Colorado, definitely check out Estes Park and check out the Stanley Hotel. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's there. Amazing. But I never saw a ghost in the Stanley, but I've heard a lot of people firsthand accounts of ghosts.
Yeah. So. But so if you've been at the Stanley Hotel and you have a ghost story, let us know.
And I think we're rambling now, dear.
We are rambling. We need to wrap it up. But we love all of you. Thank you for showing up week after week and making this podcast. You can catch this anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now we are sharing it on our YouTube channel. So just check out the AfterSight YouTube channel. Or just, you know, when you're on YouTube, you can also search for The Blind Chick and we'll pop up. So if that's easier for you to get to us, that's wonderful. And again, check out last week's episode if you haven't. Day, we love you. Thanks for inspiring us to be better people. And so excited for you guys to meet Katie Boyd next week. So,
it's one of my absolute favorite episodes that Penn and both of us have done.
Yeah, so. we had a great time with Katie. Yeah. So. Anyway, all of you have, however you spend Halloween, or if you don't do Halloween, that's okay too.
Or if you're in Colorado, Estes Park has the best Halloween.
Yes.
They shut down the whole town and it turns into this. And no Moses. Matter what the weather, if there's a blizzard, they're still going to have it, but they'll only get maybe 1,000 to 2,000 people. So.
And Moses' father Halloween up there, so we will be up there. So no matter what you do for Halloween, remember to be kind to yourselves this week and find a way to be kind to somebody else. It's good for your soul. Till next week.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!